everybody. Ben Starr here with you with a positive mind, and Kevin O'Donohue, of course. Good afternoon, Kevin. Glad to be back with you.
Hey, Ben. Good to be here.
It's great to be here, as always. And this is The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today, very exciting guest that we have the opportunity to welcome back, Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's someone who you've heard recently here on The Positive Mind, but also over the years. Someone who appeared with Armand DeMille over and over again.
Had a snowball fight with Armand.
That's right.
That's right. Back when. And she is back now.
Yeah, so we want to welcome back to the program Brenda Shoshana.
Thank you.
Brenda is a PhD here in New York City. She offers talks and workshops on simplifying our hearts and lives. Letting go of a sense of burden and living without the regret helps people be all that we are. Brenda's been the author of a wide variety of books. She's a long-term Zen practitioner and interfaith counselor. And she doesn't just offer talks and workshops, but she's also done a recent workshop based on the Sedona Releasing Method, which Armand DeMille was a big proponent of, and incorporating the Sedona Method with the principles and practice of Zen. So during this workshop that she's run, she's taught us how to melt away our catastrophic expectations, which is something that I love.
And what's great about today is she is going to show us how to do it. You know, so the last time, Brenda, you were on, there was a lot of controversy about you being on because people love their anger.
Yes.
And Brenda has written a book called The Anger Diet, and we spent some early time in early January talking about that whole book. And yes, we did get callers and comments on the internet about people, wait a second, I feel empowered when I feel my anger. I feel clarity when I feel my anger. Why should I let this go? So why don't we recap that and then we'll go into what
Absolutely.
We're going
to... Absolutely. Actually, you do. One can feel empowered. It's a false sense of power.
But
it's,
I like it.
It's like being on a drug. It's like being on a drug.
Okay.
Because after there's that high, you spiral down and you don't have clarity. That's something you don't have when you're filled
you don't
with
think
anger.
So.
I know not.
Okay.
It's like, say you have road rage. You feel like, that guy's out to kill me. Yeah. I know it. He's just driving along, bumping along. The anger lies, feelings like that, they tell you all kinds of horrible things, and then you act on that basis. And when you come off the whole high, like off a drug, you say, oh my God, what did I do? You know, I shot the guy or I knocked into him with my car. And it spirals into something difficult and dangerous often too.
And I do get that concept because when I, you know, rage is referring, Armand used to say, if you're feeling rage, it's about the past. It is not about what's going on right here and now.
Right.
So if I am feeling road rage and other people, after the fact I recognize, well, wait a second, it really didn't have anything to do with that person.
Right.
I was thinking about, you know, my job, or I was thinking right. about, you know, how I didn't sleep last night.
Exactly.
Or different things. So
Absolutely.
I get that. But sometimes anger just feels appropriate.
Well, let me say something. When you release the rage and the, it's not like you're going to be a wet noodle and stand there and do nothing.
Good.
That's a mistake. People think, oh, if I release my anger, anybody can walk all over me.
Because it's empowering, right, to have the anger.
Yeah, but it's not really. It feels like it is.
Sure.
But you know, the truth is you have much more power without the anger, and you can really, and then you can take good action, constructive action, appropriate action. It's never, nobody says don't take action, but you can't, you're not acting when you're acting at the response of anger, you're reacting.
Well, I love your analogy with anger as a drug, because there is a very real, very measurable physiological response
Absolutely.
To anger and rage.
That's right.
Almost like an amphetamine.
That's right.
It gets us so amped up, so hyped up,
right.
and then there's the crash
that's
that you mentioned. Talk about that.
That's so true. There's physiological evidence for that. Not only is there a crash, like you crash from a drug and you feel worse and lower and horrible, but living off anger as a food, it takes down your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
It creates, that's also physiological research, it creates all kinds of physical heart pressure, blood pressure, God forbid cancer, all kinds of stuff. So this is not a kind of fuel you want for your system. And when you become addicted to it, as many are, and they feel weak without it, or they feel lost, or I'm not a man if I'm not angry, that's crazy. And that's dangerous. And I'm here to tell you there's another fuel. And it's a really good fuel. And you can be active and you can do what's appropriate and you can see clearly, but it's not anger.
Okay, well, we're going to get to that fuel. Okay. But I want to talk also about the story. Mm-hmm. Because I think, this is my theory, I'm having a theory, people generate an unconscious story when they become angry.
Of course.
Especially the road rager, example of the road rager, right. That, you know, they have the same story every time that it comes up. So I'm wondering if suppressing these chemicals and being addicted to the anger is also a form of addiction to a kind of story that
beautiful.
You're either telling yourself subconsciously or consciously.
That's beautifully put.
So tell me.
Beautifully put, Kevin. Absolutely, because along with the feelings come thoughts and images and beliefs. And they do run our lives. There also comes a sense of identity. Hey, Betty, watch out for me. I'm an angry guy. There's an identity. And we're scared. Oh, my God, who will I be without my anger?
Yeah, the Hulk comes to mind. Right. You know, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Right. You know, there's another question. Who would I be without my anger?
Well, that's the big question.
Who would I be without my problems? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And, you know, we have to know. Because you're not your anger, and you cling to that anger for an identity.
Yeah.
And also, people enjoy their stories. Oh, he did this to me, and she did that to me. And you'd think if you had a painful experience, you'd want to get rid of it, but we don't.
Well, it's a convenient facade, isn't it? I mean, it's a convenient explanation for so many things in
That's
our lives
yes.
without having to really do the hard work of
Beautifully,
looking
yes.
inward.
Very well put. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I guess it makes you also socially acceptable. If you are not showing any feelings or any emotions and you're in a crowd, if you're just feeling content, people are, you know, is that good enough? People are expecting you to have kind of range of emotion to make them feel comfortable.
Well, you will have feelings when you release feelings, but you're right, not anger. And you mm-hmm. may not fit in. Let me say something. You won't fit in with a crowd that's enraged. No, you won't.
Okay.
And this is, in a way, taking a different path, a different way. However, your sense of clarity, of goodwill, of harmony will affect others. It's contagious.
Yes.
Just like anger is contagious, goodwill is contagious, and wisdom is, and just knowing what the right thing to do is contagious because we're all connected to each other.
Brenda, I have to say, I love having you here because
you
just come out with gems like that. And every time you come here, I learn a little bit more.
Oh, thank you.
One thing that I like to do personally is I like to look at an evolutionary explanation for why humans behave the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that anger, if you think about it evolutionarily, we're not that far removed, you know, from being cavemen, right? We're not that far
Speak
removed.
Speak for yourself, Benjamin.
Well, we're not. I mean, on an evolutionary scale,
no, this
you know,
part of the brain.
The
whole limbic system. Is
sure. That? We're maybe 10,000 years, a little bit more than 10,000 years removed from the most primal of lifestyles, right?
Yep.
And so when you think about anger, anger is safe in that context. It's certainly much safer than grief or sadness, which I think presents a vulnerability.
Like the elephants, you know, the elephants do grieve when they lose someone.
Yeah. So when I think of this sort of alpha caveman, right, the caveman who's the leader of his group, I don't think of a guy who's going to be vulnerable. I think of a guy who's going to project strength, and maybe that anger is tapping into that primal part of our brains.
That's right. That one
that tells us, you know, I got to look out for myself, got to protect myself.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that we certainly have programs and wiring and the limbic parts of our brain that are like that. They're primitive. And yet we're not animals. We also have we've evolved or we've grown into, although many of us live like animals. And by that, I don't mean anything negative or derogatory, but that nature can take over.
Sure.
And you know, we get into tremendous greed and lust and hunger, and which is not to say, and in this Sedona method, we never reject desire, but it's, you know, when it takes you over, then you be like an animal, can't differ. But you know, the other thing is, animals have their own intelligence that they don't torture usually their own.
No, that's true.
And
well,
if they kill to eat, I mean, they don't do what we do.
That's true. A philosopher who was also a friend of Armand's once said famously that humans have one foot in the earthly and one foot in the divine. We're kind of straddling this divide. You know, we do have that animal side. We do have that base instinctual.
Sure.
You know, and then on the other hand, we have very high minds, and we're able to conceptualize abstract concepts, mm-hmm. and we're able to theorize, and we're able to plan ahead,
and
we're able to think critically.
To release that animal impulse that you're mentioning that we've so often identified with. But,
yeah, and then there's a way to, and when you release it, you're not rejecting it, because, you know, we do a lot of the New Age or the present time spiritual practices,
yeah.
They desire is bad, get rid of it, transcend it.
No way.
No. Well, you know what? It's not bad. It's a fuel.
Yeah.
And how do you transform it and use it for the positive? If you have a great desire, make it a desire to love and understand what love really is.
Mm.
And then you'll be so... If you have a hunger... We all have hunger. Of course we have hunger. Mm. Hunger itself is not bad. It's, well, how do you use it? Are you using it to overeat morning, noon, and night?
Sure.
Or are you using it a hunger to learn, a hunger to grow? Take that raw energy and make it... Like, I'm addicted to certain kind of practices.
Yeah.
But I recognize it. Mm-hmm. And I need it to continue. My zazen, my prayer, my releasing... But I've channeled. But I'm getting such wonderful benefits from that. You see, so you can channel anything into a really wonderful form.
Thank you. You're tuned into the Positive Mind on 99.5 WBAI in New York City. I'm Kev O'Donoghue here with Ben Starr and our guest Brenda Shoshana, who is recapping for us the show we did for her in January on the anger diet, but is taking us further today to talk about releasing these negative emotions.
Yes.
You know, it strikes me that nobody, you know, I want to ask the people out there, how are you with your anger?
Right.
How do you feel when you're angry? How do you feel when your anger goes away? Imagine if you were in charge and you let go of your anger, how would you feel? I think everybody feels some sort of regret or guilt or shame when they show their anger.
Oh, of course.
Explosive anger.
Well, and especially if they hurt someone, deep down.
Even if they're angry by themselves,
I think there's some kind of remorse. They feel out of control, and they feel shaken.
Yes.
And they know that has taken them over temporarily, hopefully temporarily, although some of us, once we get taken over, it's hard to come back to center point.
You know, and after our show the last time, I used your method. I'm so glad you're here today, because we're going to be practicing this today.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I was shocked I could do it right away.
Yes, you were excellent at that
workshop.
But
I mean, also when I'm driving my car, I mean, I'm doing it.
Great.
And it's happening right away. And it feels almost, I'm flushing out.
Yeah.
And then I'm really there. Yeah. Then I feel grounded and
you have, you know, feelings,
receptive,
right?
To the environment.
It's not like you don't have feelings anymore.
No. Yeah. But you know what? I think I can see the feelings coming after I flush out.
If you're just joining us, the method that Kevin is talking about is the Sedona method, and that's something that Brenda Shoshana, our guest here today, is a great advocate and teacher of. And Brenda, I'm wondering if you could, for our listeners, just give us a basic overview of what the Sedona method is and what it means.
Well, this is a method that was formed, I've been doing it for about 30 years. Lester Levinson brought it here into the country. And this is a new way of working with emotions, feelings that come upon us. It's an incredible tool. And actually, it's being done all over the world now, because it's needed so badly. And Lester said years ago, there will come a time when this will spread and be needed. It's the Sedona method is a way of letting go. It with specific steps, a specific structure. It's not just let go. It's very specific, and it's a way of really releasing a lot of our limitations, not only our anger, but our grief, our PTSD. It's phenomenal for that.
Yes.
It's letting go of our, as you said beautifully before, our catastrophic expectations, which we're all living in the middle of. And it's the nature of mind, everybody's mind, to create catastrophic expectations. The method shows us a new way of handling feelings.
So walk me through it. Walk Kevin and I through it. And walk our listeners through it.
I just want to mention one thing that you did tell us at the intro workshop that I was part of, that Lester Levinson was given a death sentence.
Right.
Here he was in a hospital bed, and the doctor said, you could die this week, right? Okay. You could die rolling over. So here was a guy who ended up living how many more years?
Many.
40 plus years.
Healthier than ever.
But the doctors told him, you know, you only have, you know, any day now. And he's like, if anybody would know the value of letting certain feelings go,
well, you know,
it was Lester Levinson.
Well, at that point, you know, usually we hold on because we hold on. We're scared. There's resistance.
Yeah.
But at that point, he had, what did he have to hold on to? He was in a good position, actually. And so he heard a voice that said, stupid, stupid, stupid. The whole way you lived your life has been stupid.
Okay.
And that started it for him. And, you know, when you are dying, God forbid, you begin to review your life. It's a natural thing that happens if you're drowning or you're in danger. And that precipitated him really letting, seeing everything that wasn't loving in his life, and really began profoundly letting go. And in a couple of, very soon he was walking the streets with so much energy he couldn't stay in bed, and lived to build a home and everything else. And because what was causing the illness and what was choking his life force were these feelings which were repressed, which were suppressed, which were hidden from him, which ran his life before. Yeah. That is the actual foundation upon which the method was built. And now we have a wonderful way to really work with these feelings.
So here's a guy lying in a hospital bed, reviewing his life, probably getting very angry at himself.
Feeling many feelings.
Many feelings. Aside.
Loneliness,
what does he
regret.
Do? What's the first thing
and
he does?
I just want to make a little caveat before I say this.
Yeah.
When I first took the course, which was maybe 30-something years ago, maybe more, it took 2 weekends.
Okay.
2 full weekends. Uh-huh. So, you know, here we're living and give it to me now. 1, 2, 3,
yeah.
You know. However, we can't, because the need is so great and urgent, we can't encapsulate it. And I'm going to give you we only have an hour or something.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a summary.
Condensed version.
A condensed, right. And we will go through some releasing, but please realize something. Please realize something that, and you can see it on YouTube also, different people sharing it, but it's a practice.
Yeah.
And it's like riding a bike.
Yep.
And it's very good to learn the steps carefully, slowly, and gradually. And we have to keep practicing it because we're loaded with feelings. But whatever we do release, we're that much freer and happier.
Yeah.
So now I will give you, we'll go over a little.
Broad outline.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So did you want to ask me anything?
Yeah, of course. I want to ask you first about what is the nature of feelings in general? Because these are the things we want to take control of.
Well, no, we don't want to control.
Okay, we want to challenge.
we want to let them go. But it's a very.
See, there I am. I'm talking.
No, it's adorable. It's perfect that you said that because that's what we all want to do. We all want to control our feelings.
Well, we don't want to be victims to our feelings.
Of course.
And that's what this method is helping us.
That's right.
So, okay.
And we think the way we won't be victims is we'll control it, we'll repress it, we'll suppress it, we'll escape from it, we'll eat, we'll go to the movies.
See, I got a feeling and I just want to put it right where I feel like I've been successful at before.
Yeah, hide away.
I want to put it in the, so.
Of course, I don't want to feel it.
Yeah.
I want to repress it. Whatever it is, I want to hide from it. I want to distract myself. In fact, that's what a lot of alcoholism and drug abuse, it's all based on this. We don't want to feel these feelings because they seem painful.
We're either running from them or we're covering them up with something else.
Absolutely. Or we're suppressing it, or we're creating, as we said, an identity around them. Or if something, we're talking about them a lot to our friends. Did you hear what she did? Blah, 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 blah. All this gossip. And, you know, it's going on now all over. He said this, she said that. Oh,
okay.
On and on. But what we do in the method is something very different. Rather than what we do is we release them. That's a very different activity. And what that means is, first of all, step one, we have to, and it's good to do this in a group and be supported. It could be scary to do it alone.
But if you're listening at home, this is a great time. To
this is a good time.
Close your eyes and really take this in.
Yeah, take it in.
This is good stuff.
Yeah, because we have, you know, what you do is you close your eyes. Your eyes could be closed or open. Allow yourself right now just to feel whatever it is you're feeling. And it's helpful to locate it in your body.
Yeah.
Where are you feeling it in your body so we don't go flying all over? Whatever it is, it's okay.
Mm.
Just feel it. Usually we judge ourselves for feeling something. Don't. Any feeling, you are not the feeling.
Yeah.
It's just passing through. You're senior to the feeling. It's okay to just feel it. Just feel it. Okay, now allow yourself a moment just to feel that feeling. Now, feel it in the body. Now, you could tell your feeling, thank you for sharing. Welcome the feeling. Mm. Oh, nice to meet you. Here you are again.
There
if it's
are
fear
again.
Or grief, whatever it is, anger, just it's you are senior to it. It's not going to hurt you. Mm. Allow yourself to just welcome it and feel it, accept it, feel it. And then when you're ready, say, okay, you can go now. Thanks for sharing. You can leave. Some people like to energetically open a door in their heart. If the feeling is in the heart or the stomach, those are the two places that we usually find it.
So we want to talk to that feeling
and allow
directly.
It go.
We want to address the feeling directly.
You could say to it, you can leave now.
But you don't want to have a dialogue.
No, we're not going to have a dialogue. But, you know, this just let me do one step at a time.
Okay, please.
There are many, actually, there are many, many ways of releasing. That is one of them. We say to, this is the first, earliest, simplest way. We just feel it and we say, thank you. You can leave now. Now, Lester said that all feelings that come up, they come up because they do want to leave. It's just, what are they anyway? They're nothing. They're just energy. That's all they are, and is energy. So we let the energy leave. Now, sometimes we say, oh, but it's not leaving. It's not leaving. That's okay if it's not leaving. It's you. You're holding on to it for your reason, and that's okay. Whatever happens in this process, it's fine. We have other ways of getting at it. One step, as was just said, we talk to. We just ask. We do not dialogue with it at this point at all. No, mm-hmm. We just let it go. Now, we do that in the workshops in the beginning for about an hour, just to get used to that process of just allowing the feeling to leave. That's the first, one of the first things that we do.
And I think it's so important for people to, you know, if you're not sure of what you're feeling, that's a practice too. You need to get to a place, and this might take some practice, to be able to identify some rumblings in your stomach or
It doesn't, even if you're not sure, it's
chest.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Many people aren't. You don't have to be sure of it. Just feel what's there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just feel, you know, we're not accustomed to feeling our bodies. Yeah. And by the way, we want to go into the body here because otherwise you can become very spacey and it's all in the head.
Right.
You want to actually feel what's there and just people are very scared of feeling what's in their body. Sometimes just by feeling it and welcoming it, it leaves by itself.
Right.
Sometimes it'll just leave. Say, oh, you know why? Because you're not fighting it. You're not hating it. You're not rejecting it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not blaming yourself. I'm such a bad person. Look at me. I have all this anger. No, this anger doesn't mean you're bad. It's just feelings coming through you like a hollow bamboo,
mm-hmm.
like the wind passing through a hollow bamboo. It's a different way of relating with your feelings.
Can I ask you a question, Brenda?
Any question in the world.
So one of the hardest feelings to let go, and when you said feelings are just energy that are passing through and that ultimately they want to be let go.
They do.
To me, one of the hardest is going to be grief, when we're grieving for someone that we loved and that we still love who's gone. And I've seen people who, you know, they have the loss of a loved one and they grieve and it takes them weeks or months
or whole life.
You know, they've gotten to a point where they're back to normal, even if it's not okay. And I've also seen people who never quite recover, fully process or get to let go of that grief.
That's true.
How does the Sedona method
I love this question.
Work in that case?
I love that you asked me that, and I love the way you put it, and he put it with such a heartfelt, beautiful way. But, you know, let me say, first of all, each feeling is equally easy to let go of, number one. Grief hurts. It hurts.
Right.
But let me tell you, we hold on to the grief for many, many reasons. Sometimes we feel we're holding on to the person if we're holding on to the grief.
They're
oh, my
really,
God.
They're not really gone.
That's right. Or I'm guilty about what happened and I'm going to punish myself. Or how could they be alive and I'm not alive? There are many psychological reasons which we could get into. However, in the method, all you have to do, and you know, it does hurt to feel grief. And people don't want to feel grief. They grieve, but the way they grieve is, they don't really feel, I mean, they feel very sad and upset, but this is a little different. Welcome. Just stay quiet and welcome that feeling of sorrow. We don't do that when we're grieving.
No.
And just connect with the feeling itself. If you let go of the feeling, it doesn't mean you're letting go of the person.
I think that's part of the struggle.
It doesn't mean you're a bad person to be happy when someone else is gone. You know, actually, it even says in some, and I've, in some of the scriptures, if we grieve too much for someone who's passed, we can disturb them on the other side too.
Wow.
It has said that. I have a lot of stories about that. That's something else. But the point is, just feel that grief. You know, we don't want to feel it. We feel it's going to hurt. But it hurts more to keep grieving for months and months. And it hurts more. The effects the grief has when you don't feel it is more devastating.
And I like to say that grief is a verb.
That's right.
You know, it's something you do. I mean, you're not in a state of grief. You're actually grieving. And so with this method, you can actually welcome the grief,
yes.
Welcome the feelings. It has a specific moment, a specific beginning, middle, and end. And it can come back.
Oh, it will come back.
And it will come back until you're done with it.
That's right. Let me say that.
But if you're not doing something to welcome the sorrow, welcome the feelings, you're just one big umbrella of this mess.
And there's a lot of anger.
When
grief goes on that long, there's a lot of rage and anger underneath that.
Sure.
And bitterness,
right.
and fury and, oh, how dare you leave me. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on under it. So, you know, the way to really know about this method is to do it.
Exactly.
When we do the workshops, it was so beautiful because you see somebody else letting go and you see all of a sudden, big smile, their eyes start to twinkle. Let me say something, and Kevin made a very important point. When you let go of one feeling, then more comes up. And you say, well, I just let it go. How come there's more?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's tons because we've been carrying for many lifetimes or this lifetime tons of these feelings. But whatever you release is gone. And you're that much freer. And you have also that much more freedom in your life. Whatever's gone is gone. Now, once you release your grief, you can love that person more. You can do appropriate things more. You could might go to their family who is missing them and help. You'll see with your own self other ways. There are other ways of grieving. I like what Kevin said. It's a process. Constructive ways of grieving rather than just lying in bed and you know, feeling that way. You could maybe plant trees for them. Some people open foundations.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot you can do, but you can't do it if you're locked into grief because it really immobilizes you.
Wow. Well, thanks for that insight, Brenda. And, you know, that's something that I think everyone can relate to is dealing with grief. And, you know, so everyone has lost someone at some point.
Of course.
And it never gets easier, although I think we can get to a place where it's manageable. So
it can actually be completely okay, even, believe it or not, which doesn't mean you didn't love the person. It means that you're grateful. And that you can see, because when we release a lot, we begin to see deeper truths of life. And you can say, oh, my God, that person is always with me. Yeah, but that's just a word. You have to actually experience that for yourself.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. I'm Ben Starr, our guest today, Brenda Shoshana, and, of course, as always, Kevin O'Donohue here in the studio. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back after this. It's the Al Michelle's Affair here on WBAI with Cream. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. You're listening to The Positive Mind. Today, our guest, Dr. Brenda Shoshana, who is back with us. So good to have you back, Brenda. Thanks for being here.
You know, My pleasure. And before the break, we were talking about releasing, but it struck me about, with grief, being released or actually releasing. Because some people feel released. You know, all of a sudden, magically, the grief stops or ends after, you know, its course. And they feel somehow released, dispossessed. And then there's releasing, which will probably shorten the amount of time of the grief in general. So what I like about this method is that you take control. You let yourself feel better.
That's
these
right.
ideas of planting a tree, going to a foundation, helping other people once you're over these harsh emotions will happen either when you're released or when you're releasing.
I like that.
I think it will happen much sooner if you're doing the releasing and not waiting.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, we can wait for something to pass. And you know what? It could pass on one level. We feel better. And some people do naturally, of course, release on their own. But it also could be that somehow we suppress a lot of the grief.
Yeah.
And then, because I remember when I used to work with hospice and so forth, there's a high percentage of, say, people who... couples who've been together a long time,
right.
one will pass away
within
a year of another.
Right.
And so that grief hasn't really been released. It could have been gone under. It goes under. This very interesting point you make because we could feel better but not have actually released the feelings. Sometimes we feel better if we just turn on the movies and our mind goes into another channel.
True.
Or some people... they'll have a new relationship.
Yes.
And, I feel released. But somehow that heavy grief is in there. And it comes out sometimes in illnesses. It comes out in other ways.
Yes, that's so important. So, you point out a really good way that we can bury or evade or get away from our feelings and how it just doesn't serve us ultimately.
It doesn't. It never serves. You know, it's a very important distinction.
Okay.
And that's what we do. We find... But I'm not saying that normally and naturally sometimes feelings do, of course, leave also. But this is a profound method of really, really cleaning them out, really opening the door. And you know what? Many people feel so free when they have the method to use. Others are frightened because they're not used to feeling these feelings.
Yeah.
And they're afraid, oh, my God, I'll be overwhelmed. That's the feeling. I'll be overwhelmed. I don't
feelings
know.
Will not kill you.
Well... You know, you have to know how to do it, though, carefully.
Yes.
You know, people can get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So it's very important to know, to do this. Although right now it's not being taught. I mean, I have introductory workshops in person, but mostly...
No, this is not happening.
It's not around. It's not... Mostly you can get it on CDs or online courses, and then... Or then you can go, not online, telephone courses, or then you can, and that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay.
Because you have to practice it.
And I really feel strongly it's good to be with others in the beginning you're learning it.
I agree.
We had partners in the old days, and we would call up every day and release with the person.
Really?
And have a little community because it's so supportive to do it together.
It's great to do it before you're actually feeling some real event in your life, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you can practice with the easy stuff now if you're not in any crisis or trauma.
Right.
And when the time comes and you'll need it, then you might even have a partner out of it. It's a great way to practice. See, I would think practicing with a partner could be embarrassing. You almost don't want to.
You know you love that person.
Yes, you probably do.
You're going to love that person.
But no, I would think that in the early stages, it's perfect. You can practice when you're not in crisis.
You have to. It's like riding a bike.
Yeah.
You know, you want to build those muscles. These are new muscles. These are new ways of relating to your feelings and to life. So it's good to have a support system. Now, there are courses on the phone and online, like Larry Crane. I mentioned him.
Yes.
He offers wonderful programs. They have a hotline.
Right.
If you get stuck, you could call the hotline. And there are CDs and so forth available.
Is there any materials on suicide in the releasing method? Because here are people who see their... death, they're seeing their suicide possible, their ideation, and to be able to just have practice, some experience. It would be so wonderful.
Yeah.
I think it would be a great tool.
It's an incredible tool. Yeah. That's why I'm doing as much as I can. Yes. It needs to be shared because, exactly. You know, people who become suicidal, they see no hope. And it's not them that sees no hope. Their feelings are flooding them.
Yes.
Their feelings are telling them there's no hope. I'll say something again that I said on your other show. Feelings are liars. They lie to you. They tell you there's no hope.
Yeah.
They tell, as soon as you release the feeling, you see a million hopes. They tell you there are terrible things happening right now, the catastrophic expectations. It ruins your day. Mm. Look what's going to happen. Be here now. Release your feelings. You don't know. And you don't have to go through an agony for something that's not even happening.
They should teach it in high schools. When kids just start to have, certain feelings,
even
a cavalcade of feelings.
I did this with my little four-year-old granddaughter this summer, and I was releasing it. She said, whoa, is this fun? Kids know it. They get it. It's intuitive. It's instinctive.
Because when you walked us through the first step and just said welcome it and see
it,
when I closed my eyes, I did feel off to the side from the feeling.
Yes.
And that to me felt like so important to be able to do in order to let it go.
Yeah, that's right. Because you disidentified from the feeling.
Yes.
Because normally we're glommed onto this, and who wants to be glommed onto rage or to grief? We're identified with the feeling. That's who I am. I'm a grieving person. I'm a furious person. No, that's not who you are. You're vast. You contain infinite wisdom and hope and clarity. These feelings are passing through you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI New York. And our guest today, the incomparable, the unbelievable Brenda Shoshana, who's back with us after she was here, about 2.5 months ago?
January.
Yes, early January.
Many, many times over the years as a friend, colleague and guest of Armand DeMille's, for those of you longtime listeners out there. So thank you for tuning in. We're talking a little bit about anger, emotions, and the Sedona method, and releasing. And one thing that I love, one of your sayings, Brenda, that just every time you say it, it's almost like the first time I hear it, because it's so brilliant that I can never get tired of hearing it. You talk about how we are senior to our anger. Right. We are senior to our emotions.
Absolutely.
And I love that way of conceptualizing it. I think it really helps.
That's great. I don't think I made that up. I think I've heard it myself before. But sometimes we need, that's when releasing, we do the same thing over and over. It's interesting, the spirit of repetition. And me too. I read the same books over and over and over. And I make little comments in the margin. Until it sinks in.
Right.
And not only that, yes, you're right. Sometimes you hear something, it's like, wow, it's like I never heard it before. It is a fabulous concept, and it's so important, because when we take anger as an identity, or grief can become an identity, there's a lot of side benefits from that too. Everybody starts taking care of you. Sure, tons.
Yeah.
But when we realize we're senior to our feelings, then we have to stop and pause and say, wait a minute, if I'm not these feelings, who am I?
Right.
What am I?
Yeah.
What's possible in my life?
And my anger and my grief is not the boss of me.
Right. Exactly. And I've been hijacked. And that's what conditioning is. Our conditioning hijacks us. We've been taken over. Mm. We're hijacked. And that's the human condition. So don't beat yourself up if that happens to you.
It also might be, though, feelings could be a way of our connecting to our families. I mean, if you come from an angry family and you all suddenly decide to not be the angry one, hey, wait a second, you've lost membership in the club.
That's a great point.
So people will hang on to certain categories of feelings in order to feel accepted and belong.
Now, that's a great, great point.
Okay.
Now, let me just say, that takes us to the next step of the craving for approval, wanting approval.
Acceptance.
You know what? Some families are very angry families, or they're grief-stricken families, and we take that on, their feelings to belong, to be one with them. However, when you let it go, you can be closer to your family.
I believe so.
And not only that, you can shine a light for them. You open a possibility for them as well to lift their life. Just to all be stuck together in the mud How much fun is
and
that?
And you know, you don't see them as clearly.
No, you don't.
When you're, you know, adopting the accepted feeling.
Exactly.
Because you know it's somehow not really you in the first place. Right. So when you disengage from it, then you can see who they really are, and you're available to give them the positive
and they feel
emotions
that, and
that
they
are
love
in you
it.
Also.
And they feel
they
that. Oh, and they want it. As I said before, this is contagious.
Yes.
Just the way anger is contagious, love is contagious, because ultimately what's happening really, if we put it straightforwardly, as we release these feelings, what pops up usually? Love.
Yeah.
And by love, I don't mean clinging, you do this for
yeah,
me. I mean a feeling of honoring someone, a feeling of happiness. People smile, our natural joyfulness, the way little children are, their eyes twinkle. We become playful. We become available.
Yeah. Mm, that's important.
You know, and if you've ever seen Brenda Shoshana on a bus, she's the one with the wide open eyes and the smile on her face. In spite of everything going on around you, you know, the thing about you that I've noticed
Thank
the
you.
First time I met you is that, you know, you have a gentle, soft presence that's radiant, but it's not like a dull kind of, you know, who is that person? There's a radiance that, you know, you don't need words to say. You're just like, who is that person? She's really alive.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That's a great, thank you. I appreciate that. And that's a good way, it brings a person back to life. I like that.
Yeah.
Just the way Zazen sitting or prayer does. The right kind of prayer, the right sitting. Why does it bring you back to life? Because the feelings take your life away from you.
Mm. What do you say about numbness? Wow. People who are numb.
Well,
who don't, you know, because I think in that exercise, if you ask, a lot of people would say, I don't know what I'm feeling.
Okay, that's
I'm at my desk, you know, it's the middle of the workday. And, you know, I can't feel during my workday.
Well, that's great. You know, most of us, we get numbed out living in the way the world. I mean, I came over here. My God, it took me an hour just to get a few blocks,
you know,
basically.
I think that's one of the really tough things about living in New York or any big city. And you and I have spoken about this, Kevin.
Sure.
It is so hard to find that human contact, right? We're taught stranger danger. We're taught don't make eye contact with anyone on the subway.
Mm. The opposite
and
is true.
Yeah, it's this defense mechanism that we adapt. And we use it when we live in large cities. And it's really the tough part of living in a place like this.
Well, that's very true. And the truth is, though, as you keep releasing these negative feelings, I've been doing it for 30 years. I've been releasing and sitting and everything. As you do that, you see that we are one with each other. You really deeply see that. And you want to smile at someone. And people notice when, like, if you're in a good mood.
No.
That makes them, they smile back at you. They're happy because it lifts them. You lift others by doing this.
See, I am the type of person to smile at a stranger. And the problem is that, you know, sometimes I do get a good response, but also sometimes people look at me like I'm a lunatic.
Right.
Of course.
You know, like I'm some kind of I escaped from an institution somewhere and I'm off my meds.
But you know what? We dealt with that in the workshop. We go into the next level. But I just want to include this next level a little bit in this program. There are two deep feelings or programs that we all are wired into, and that's the wanting approval and the wanting to control everything. So in this method, we learn how to let go of wanting approval and recognize it as another feeling. Now, by wanting approval, that can become an addiction. Your whole life is based on, I want to prove. That's not love. Please realize approval and love are two very different things.
And I think a lot of people that you describe that spend their life seeking that, they probably never got it from their parents.
That's right. They never did.
And now they're seeking it from teachers and bosses and friends and loved ones.
Everybody. And in this method, you learn how to let go of that craving for. And as you let go of it, love bubbles up. And Kevin can testify to it. And you feel loving. There's a difference between love and approval. Approval is give me, give me, give me your praise. Love is, I love you. You're beautiful. I see such wonderful things in you. It's not possessive. It's not clinging.
It's like today you, tomorrow me, or vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
It's an exchange.
Of course.
And if you're a fan of the Enneagram, which we're talking about you, 2, 3s, and 4s, the feeling triad, people who are stuck trying to get some kind of approval, and all because they never received the kind of love that we're talking about. So if you're having this fixation, you can do this releasing method and get all the love and feel all the love you're looking for in the first place.
And let go of wanting that approval.
Take us through the next step.
Well, I will. You know, we'll just be doing so much in a short time.
Yes,
but
we
may
are.
As well, because it's a time of crisis right
yes,
now.
Yes, I agree.
And we have to just do what we can to help. The next step about those two strong feelings is the feeling of wanting approval. It's a craving.
Mm.
It's a feeling. It's only a feeling.
So let's
though.
Take a moment and do that.
And by the way,
locate that in yourself.
Okay, but before that, I want to say one thing. That the wanting something means lacking it, means you don't have
yes,
it.
Yes, of course.
So when you let go of wanting approval, you'll have it.
Yes.
Okay, so let's just feel that feel. Think of somebody you want approval
yes.
from.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Including yourself, you might want your own approval. Mm. Just feel that feeling of wanting their approval. It's only a feeling. Could you let go of that feeling of wanting approval? Now it's up to you to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now, please let it go. And just when you say yes, I could let go of the feeling of wanting approval and pause and just allow it to leave. And it leaves.
It does leave.
It leaves.
Did you feel it, Ben?
I did.
And look,
isn't
now
amazing?
We see such a beautiful
it's
smile
so
on Ben's
amazing.
Face.
Look at this.
You see, and when somebody
he's 5 years younger.
Yeah, exactly. When someone releases it, too bad you can't be here in person. I'm going to do this
on
an
online.
Webcast, I'm going to do an online course on this, right. Actually. But you look at Ben's face. Pops up into a big smile.
Yeah.
Now, when you ask it in that way, you say, could you let – you're not talking to the feeling directly. You're talking to you, your inner you. Could you let go of the feeling of wanting approval and – yes, of course, you can. You're making a choice. I used to call this course the choice. You're making a choice.
I agree. Yeah.
Could you let it go? Yes. Now we do the same thing with the feeling of wanting to control.
Hmm.
People say, I can't let go of wanting to control. Wanting control is a feeling of lacking control. So when you let go of the feeling of wanting or lacking control, then you're in control. So let's do that now. Let's do it.
Come okay, on. I'm ready.
Can you feel the feeling of wanting to control something?
Yes.
Could you let go of that feeling of wanting to control it? Would you? Thank you.
That's it, right?
Just let it go.
That's a lot harder for me.
Yeah, I know it. For most people, it is because you think I'll be out of control. But just try it for now. You could take the feeling back if you wanted.
Okay.
Just try it for one minute.
It's harder in general, but it's also harder right now because I'm controlling.
But you know what? It doesn't mean you're going to be out of control. You'll be in more control, Kevin. Ben, just try it for
a
moment.
All right.
Let go.
Fine.
Just for a second.
Okay. Yeah. Let's try it.
Just allow it to go.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
there it is.
But I almost want to make an appointment with it to come back later.
because it's familiar.
Yes, it is.
It's familiar.
It's more familiar to me than the approval one.
Of course.
But, okay.
You know what? When it leaves, what do you feel? Just energy leaving, right?
I do feel it's a choice. You know, when I saw it going away, I said, oh, I could choose to bring it back if I wanted to.
Yes, you can.
So I do see it as a choice, somehow there's a... There is a sort of letting go and a loosening and a lightening. I do definitely feel a physical change once you say, let it go.
Once you agree. And you know what? When you do it more and more, you'll see that the more you let go of wanting control, the more you're in control. When you really learn that, you're not going to want the other one.
Mm.
Brenda, it's so great to have you back here with us today. Our guest has been Brenda Shoshana here today on The Positive Mind. And you are listening to us. And you can hear us here on WBAI every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. So that's where you can find us. We're also online if you want to check us out on iTunes. You can get all of our episodes for free from the iTunes Store. Just go on the iTunes Store and search Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. Our guest has been Brenda Shoshana. You can reach us right here at the center anytime, 212-757-4488. That nice symmetrical number that Armand DeMille was crazy about. And you can also send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. That's positivemind@wbai.org. And for our longtime listeners and fans, our good friend and Positive Mind family member, Julian Joiello, is now on Netflix. That show has been released. It's called Julie's Green Room.
Right.
So if you want to see Julian, he's playing right alongside Julie Andrews. It's great. Unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Julian and Mary Poppins.
I want to just say one thing.
Yeah.
If you want to reach me, because we have introductory workshops every month. topspeaker@yahoo.com.
Thank you.
That's right.
Forgot about that.
Every month there's a one-day introductory workshop.
topspeaker.com.
No, topspeaker.
At Yahoo.
At Yahoo.
At Yahoo.com.
Sorry.
That's it.
That's all right.
And there are workshops available.
So that's where you could reach Brenda. topspeaker@yahoo.com. And you can reach us at positivemind@wbai.org. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.